But Tim Keller next does something remarkable. He shifts from talking about the Holocaust and Nazi Germany to an all-white city council in a small Virginia town. He shifts from talking about the Holocaust and Nazi Germany to an all-white city council in a small Virginia town. In this town, over a quarter of the population was black, and Keller implies that the predominantly white city council was to blame for the black part of town being poor. Quote, "The fact of the matter was, of course, that the poor part of the city, the poor part of the town, the school over there, the black part of town, was being absolutely starved of resources," end quote. Keller says that the white city council knew exactly what they were doing, and he, as a young white pastor, was complicit so long as he did not challenge this status quo. At this point, without really explicitly telling us what he has done, Keller introduces two assumptions to the topic. The most important of these assumptions is that racial inequality is a product of racial bias and prejudice. The poor part of town being the black part of town is the fault of the white city council. Ladies and gentlemen, this is critical race theory, or CRT for short. The second assumption naturally follows. It is the responsibility of the white city council to correct the inequality of outcome. The black neighborhoods must be just as nice and affluent as the white neighborhoods. The schools in the black neighborhoods must receive just as much funding as the schools in the white neighborhoods. The only explanation for why this is not the reality is systemic evil, with the evil here being more specifically racism. In the next section, Tim Keller defines what he means by systemic evil a little more pointedly. Quote, "It is a system that excludes and marginalizes people on the basis of race, even though most of the individuals in the system are not probably intentionally trying to do it. The individuals are not intentionally trying to do it. They are part of a system that is doing it, and therefore there is guilt, and therefore there is systemic evil," end quote. Here, Keller has completely abandoned any pretense of using the Bible to support his assertions. And now, systemic evil has nothing to do with individual actions. You are complicit even if you do and say nothing. Silence is violence. What is more, systemic evil, according to Keller, has little or nothing to do with intent. He grants that most of the individuals in the system are not probably intentionally trying to exclude and marginalize people on the basis of race. But here now, because Keller primed your emotional pump with references to the Holocaust, you may impulsively concede that you as a white American are to blame for high crime, low economic opportunity, and poor property values and educational opportunities in the neighborhoods of many black Americans. You did not know you were to blame. You were not trying to oppress your black countrymen. No matter, because you quietly go to work and mind your business and pay your taxes rather than working with Keller to overthrow or at least overhaul the system, you are the problem. You are part of this systemic evil as he has defined it for us. Quote, "Have you got the eyes to see this systemic evil, or are you a typical white Westerner?" End quote. Either agree that you are a racist, or you are ignorant and wrong and still also racist. In the third and final point Tim Keller makes in Racism and Corporate Evil, he turns to how the gospel addresses these two problems he has just laid out, corporate moral responsibility and systemic evil. Yet he undermines this final section at the outset when he says, quote, "You have got to keep in mind that just converting some individuals with the gospel, if the system needs to be dealt with, will not be enough to deal with racism," end quote. There are a number of pivot points here worth examining more closely. First of all, the word "if" here, that is conditional. Does the system need to be dealt with or not? Supposing it does, what does that look like? What specifically is Keller recommending? Having been quiet on the proposals front so far, all we know is that Keller blames white America for racial inequality. A democratically elected city council in Virginia, for instance, is to blame for the black part of town being the poor part of town. The presumptive solution is for the city council to be shamed until it either redistributes wealth or else makes way for those who will. The listener and the reader can be forgiven for assuming that Keller is proposing a radical and retroactive redistribution of wealth and power. Again, if the system needs to be dealt with in order to deal with racism and the inequality is taken as proof of persistent racism and is therefore evil, then it automatically follows that the inequality must then be exchanged for equality. Nothing else will do. But of course, Keller does not explicitly say here what he is proposing besides the gospel, because if he did, it would sound an awful lot like Marxism. In point of fact, it would be an awful lot like Marxism too. Even though Tim Keller essentially says that preaching the gospel is not enough, he proceeds in laying out three ways he believes the gospel should address this problem he has just told us we have. One, understand gospel theology as Keller explains it. Two, change your identity so you are less sucked into the social system around you. Three, do not be self-righteous and angry when you crusade against systemic racism. Keller ends his message on this third and final point and argues that self-righteousness and anger are to be avoided not only because they are ungodly attitudes. Perhaps more importantly, anger and self-righteousness should be avoided because they will turn people off to the social justice warrior's cause. In other words, the real radical takes the long view. He patiently works for incremental change in winsome ways. In other words, do what Tim Keller does. But let us consider the other two points, since they are more substantive and remind me less of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Working backwards through the list, consider the second way Tim Keller says the gospel addresses corporate evil and systemic racism. He cites James 1:9, quote, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation," end quote. But then, shortly after this, Keller proceeds to unpack how and why he believes this verse applies here. Quote, "The gospel takes white people and keeps them from really getting their identity from their place in society, and it takes poor people and it keeps them from taking their identity out of their place that has been assigned to them in society. That helps destroy the power of the system," end quote. As Joe Biden says, "Poor kids are just as bright as white kids." In other words, and not even paraphrasing Tim Keller very much either, we all just need to check our white privilege. But consider the example Keller provides here. Take the case of Irish immigrants who were seen as a scourge when they moved to America in the 1840s. Citing Bill Stuntz in The Collapse of American Criminal Justice, Keller says, quote, "Irish criminals were tried by Irish juries. They were tried by Irish judges. They were arrested by Irish policemen and Irish district attorneys. In other words, the Irish community was empowered to actually deal with their own crime problem, and they got on top of it. These inner-city black communities are not empowered to do that because the criminal justice system," he says, "is in the hands of white people," end quote. But this is patently false. Last I checked, black Americans have judges, juries, policemen, district attorneys, legislators, mayors, city councils, the works. It is gross ignorance of the obvious facts to claim otherwise.